coming up.
Some of it was just quite grotesque, actually.
Gastrointestinal or gastrointestinal?
Gastrointestinal, I would have said.
They could not decide.
I'm not sure we've ever explored this before.
I wouldn't be gagging for the next chapter.
No. I have discovered a lot of things on this podcast.
It might be brilliant. It might be terrible.
Welcome to Sainsbury's.
I don't do engaging.
I'll tell you either way.
I'm now a time traveller.
And that is nonsense.
How do you say that?
Am I allowed to be picky about one tiny thing?
I liked you before.
And now, enjoy the podcast.
How do you say that?
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 Hello and welcome to How Do You Say That, sponsored by BritishVoiceOver.co.uk. This is Mark Rice. He's my co-host.
It felt like you were pointing at me. And that's Sam Boffin, my co-host, and I'm pointing back.
Hello. So we are here again this week because we have some work to do with voiceover actors.
Yeah, we do indeed. And that work is working out how we say stuff by taking some scripts and reading the words out loud with a special guest. It sounds simple, doesn't it?
Yes, but of course, you see, there isn't just one way to read a script. There are lots of different ways. So, Mark, before we meet our guest, a little bit of true or false.
Oh, I love this bit, yeah.
Okay. I have dyed my eyebrows ever since my early 20s. Is that true or false?
I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all, especially not from the 20s. No, I'm going to call false straight away. No way.
No, I haven't. You're right, I haven't. But
no.
I know plenty
of people
that have.
It sounded outlandish, that.
Really?
No. Yeah, no.
You haven't met many women. Well, actually, you haven't.
Not that closely.
Not that closely.
All right, my true or false is, I now have more than 1,000 solar lights in my garden. It looks like a fairy grotto overnight. True or false?
1,000? 1,000?
Mm-hmm. More than 1,000.
Bollocks to that. I don't think you've had 1,000 in your garden.
Easy.
I do, actually. Easy. I do. I do. Because I've got two complete nets of
like
solar lights, of the little LED lights that go over the fence. It looks lovely.
I bet it does. I bet it looks gorgeous. Wow.
I'm not sure what my neighbours think. It probably keeps them up at night. Well, of course, we also have our very special guest with us, voice actor Lizzie Jobling. Hello, Lizzie. Welcome to How Do You Say That?
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Oh, it's so lovely to have you along. Let's find out a little bit more about Lizzie, shall we, Sam?
Yes. So Lizzie is a full-time voice actor based just outside of London, working from a very hot padded box.
I know.
Lizzie has been a full-time voiceover for 7.5 years. And more recently, she's the founder of the UK's first and only accredited voiceover business course.
Lizzie's also the in-store brand for Sainsbury's UK. That may be where you've heard her, of course, as well as voicing for Airbnb, Hermes, McLaren, Warner Brothers, and everything and anything in between. Lizzie is the familiar voice you didn't know you knew. Well, welcome along to the podcast, Lizzie. Have you got a fun fact for us?
Fun fact that crows can remember a human face for up to 5 years.
Right.
And they also have their mouths open when they're dehydrated or trying to cool down.
Oh my God.
The mouth open one, I was recently in a local park to me, and I thought, why the fuck is that bird's got its mouth open like that, looking at me? I thought, I think it likes the look of my eyeballs. I was a bit frightened. Yeah. And another VO, she messaged and she was like, my father-in-law's this avid bird person, and it's when they're trying to conserve energy because they're dehydrated or they're thirsty, so they just sit there with their mouths open, and it's really, really horrifying.
And with that Alfred Hitchcockian fun fact, oh my Lord,
yes.
Let's have a look at the first script of our show, shall we, and ask, how do you say that?
How do you say that?
So I don't think that we have had a script like this before, because this one is a bit of an anomaly.
I mean, it's bigging up voice actors. I appreciate that.
I suppose it is, really, although that was entirely just a lucky coincidence. This is a podcast script.
Oh, nice.
In this particular podcast script, I was dubbing somebody else's voice.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That is fascinating.
Yes.
Were they Italian by any chance? Because
yes,
you talk about Italy in the script.
So this is an Italian podcast. I am always the second voice in it. So yes. I'm always the guest voice. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing is dubbed from Italian into English, but it retains its Italian, you know, sort of origins so that you hear the Italian slightly underneath.
Yes. Yeah. Like they do on Radio 4 when they do a translation of something.
The trick is to get the timing right. So it's quite a tricky thing to do.
The question that I have is all about timing because the Italians speak incredibly fast and do a lot of words.
No. I have discovered a lot of things on this podcast and that is nonsense.
How?
Because
funny.
What I have discovered is, in fact, all Italians are entirely different.
I am shocked.
The Italians I know all speak very fast. But yeah, no, fair enough. Fair point.
I thought that. I genuinely thought that. And I thought, gosh, I'm going to have to go up quite a lick every time. And what I discovered very, very quickly was that sometimes I'm going really slowly to pad out.
To pad out because of their sentence.
To get the timing. Yep. And sometimes I am indeed speeding up. And it really does depend on who the interviewee is.
So can you tell us whether this is fast, slow, in between?
For the purposes of this, it doesn't really matter. But what is important with these is that they are simply someone chatting to someone else.
Okay, so it's
so
fairly light.
So there is no sort of performative element to this at all.
Okay.
The idea is that you're meant to kind of vibe into a very normal sort of conversation. So they're very naturalistic. Till I got booked for this job, I'd never done this sort of thing before. But I sort of came at it as if I was just a character.
Yes.
Okay. For me, that's much more throwaway. I'll give it a go. Let's see what comes out, Lizzie. You never know. It might be brilliant. It might be terrible.
I'll tell you either way.
I know you will.
Good.
Moreover, we know that after the pandemic of 2020, around 67% of Italians said that their screen fatigue had increased because of video calls and the time spent online. And the audiobook finally allows us to rest our eyes and let our imaginations soar. And there is a fundamental element, and that is the emotional bond that develops with the narrator's voice. This is the great advantage that audiobooks offer. The voices who read audiobooks create an emotional bond that often goes beyond the story and the author, so much so that many users choose the next audiobook on the basis of their favourite narrators.
Nice.
Yeah, I mean, full marks for very conversational. I thought that kind of felt quite, quite
so laid back, I'm horizontal.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I was trying quite hard there.
It was swift.
Yes. And I think I fall into that trap anyway, when I go conversational anyhow.
I think I do that actually as well, Mark.
Understandably, I think, because you're not structuring so much.
Yeah. No, but I think when we actually are having conversations, there is a differentiation between the speed. So it's like chat.
Maybe, exactly what you did there, Lizzie, exactly what you did there in terms of searching for that, the right, and I'm doing it now, where you're searching for the right word to say.
You do it in conversation all the time.
Exactly,
yeah.
Do it in conversation all the time. And those are the elements that you have to sort of add back in to make it feel conversational.
So it's humanising, but in a very different way that scripts have taught us to humanise in other ways.
Yes. So you are allowed to kind of stop and think of the word. And that's actually quite difficult because...
Yes.
Well, it's like reverse conversation.
Yes.
As a voice actor.
It's absolutely.
Like completely reversing.
And also in dubbing, really difficult because you've still got to follow the flow of what's going on in the original Italian.
All you have to do with audio dubbing, though, is get the overall timing okay. Mm. That's all you have to do.
Yeah.
And actually, in this case, slightly less than the original timing.
I guess, because they need to hear the bit of Italian at the beginning and the bit of Italian at the end.
but within that, so in fact, the way I approach them all is I time the passages each time and know that I've got 57 seconds to say
that's clever
a piece. Mm.
Lizzie, would you like a go?
No.
I mean, don't say no, because that would ruin the podcast.
Oh, I love it. No, of course. Ready? Mm-hmm. I'm going to do a very technical thing at the beginning. That's just the thing that I do.
Oh, do that again. Do that again. I love it.
It's like I'm rewinding, ready to go again. Right.
Nice.
Okay. Right, here goes. Moreover, we know that after the pandemic of 2020, around 67% of Italians said that their screen fatigue had increased because of video calls and the time spent online. And the audiobook finally allows us to rest our eyes and let our imagination soar. And there is a fundamental element that is the emotional bond that develops with the narrator's voice. This is the great advantage that audiobooks offer. The voices who read audiobooks create an emotional bond that often goes beyond the story and the author. So much so that many users choose the next audiobook on the basis of their favourite narrators.
I really like that. Yeah. I got a sense of the timing. You changed the pace several times within that, really quite cleverly. You ignore quite a lot of the punctuation, as we were talking about, in terms of creating the sentences as you were thinking about them rather than how they're written on the page.
Yeah, you really landed the info actually as well. I mean, I really kind of understood and was sort of hanging on your words actually. Yes. It felt like a normal conversation.
Thanks.
Yeah.
How did it feel, Lizzie?
I'll come here again.
How did it feel?
Yeah, it's a huge effort. I really struggle to smash the commercial out of me.
I know exactly what you mean.
I struggle because I do. But no, I thought that was. I'm actually quite proud of myself for that.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
Really
nice. I mean, I loved it, and it was. I think it was just the right pace. And obviously, as I say, the overall pace is dictated.
Can I be picky about one tiny thing?
Do. Yeah.
Am I allowed to be picky about one tiny thing?
Yeah.
You said 67% of Italians as if they weren't Italians. As if you were a Brit saying...
Expand.
As if you were a Brit saying around 67% of Italians, rather than we are Italian, around 67% of Italians.
Interesting. Gosh, that is...
That's
some,
a real
that
little
is some
nuance,
detail
actually.
You've picked up on.
Tiny little
but
nuance.
But actually...
It's the pedant in me, that's what it is.
No, that is a really good point. And in all honesty, I completely erased what Sam had said about the particular job. And I did not have myself as the Italian. I had myself as the British person.
Yeah.
So that,
makes
that
sense.
Is why I did it. And actually, that's really, very true.
That's such an interesting little, nuance to have noticed as well. That's very cool.
I'd love to see what you did with it, Sam. I'm wondering if it's going to be a million miles away from what we did.
I genuinely don't think it is. I think, well, anyway, I'll do what I did. Mm. Okay. Moreover, we know that after the pandemic of 2020, around 67% of Italians said that their screen fatigue had increased because of video calls and the time spent online. And the audiobook finally allows us to rest our eyes and let our imagination soar. And there is a fundamental element, and that is the emotional bond that develops with the narrator's voice. This is the great advantage that audiobooks offer. The voices who read audiobooks create an emotional bond that goes beyond often the story and the author, so much so that many users choose the next audiobook on the basis of their favourite narrators.
God, I love that. I see exactly what you were doing. It was like you were plucking the words out as you were saying them. I absolutely saw what you were doing every single time because you'd explained it beforehand.
I got a few words around the wrong way and it doesn't matter.
Didn't matter, did it? No. No.
Because in many ways, it all adds to the immediacy of it.
Yeah, immediacy, reality, exactly.
Unless I'd said 57% of Italians, then I'd have gone back. But
then you'd just be lying.
That would just be factually wrong.
Play How Do You Say That?
Lizzie, I love your script. Tell me a bit about your script. Where's it from?
What the hell is it? I thought you were going to bring us a Sainsbury's commercial or something, but no.
So this was a script I did for a health and safety something or other for a ship, obviously.
Like an onboarding thing?
Yeah. Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Now, it was originally, for the staff that were doing what construction stuff on the ship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Some of it was just quite grotesque, actually, this script. It was really funny.
You've saved us from the really horrible stuff.
Yes. I did. It's pretty standard for stuff I do, actually, this type of thing.
Now, I've done a lot of onboarding scripts for, like, gas and oil companies and stuff like that when they go out to the oil rigs. So I get the kind of style that I've been asked to do in the past. Is this fairly straight or is this kind of characterful? What do they ask you to do?
Yeah, so they asked me to be very engaging. It's very dry. So this is probably, the grotesque bit, this is probably the most interesting of the the 8 modules that I did. So it's quite dry. So they really wanted it engaging, but it is pretty straightforward.
But this is nonetheless an announcement as opposed to a video.
Oh, I would have thought this was a video, like an onboarding video.
Yeah, sorry, it's a video.
It is a video.
It is a video. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Because that makes a massive difference in the way that you do it.
Well, yeah, that's...
Yeah.
So engaging was what they wanted, actually. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, then. All visitors on the ship must report to a member of staff if they are affected by or have just recovered from infections of skin, eyes, ears, mouth, or gastrointestinal illness. In the case of ammonia or waste release, if you smell ammonia or waste or come across an ammonia alarm, remove yourself from the affected area and contact your manager or RP immediately. If you're not in the affected area, remain indoors or assemble in the ground floor mess room area and await further instruction. You are responsible for disposing of any waste you create.
It's just a horrible line.
That was beautiful.
It was interesting because as you're reading it, there's a lot of punctuation that they leave out.
Yes.
Yeah, they're quite long sentences, actually. Like, yeah.
Eight modules that, that were like this.
And as you're going towards the bit, you're in your... Yeah. The other bit of your mind is going, oh, well, surely I've got to pause at this next thing. I'll pause anyway and see where we go. And it's really interesting. Hardly any punctuation, in fact.
I remember once having a client and I had a big to do with them and it was down the line and nobody could agree because like 2 people in the control room agreed with me and 2 people didn't, and it was like gastrointestinal or gastrointestinal. They could not decide.
Gastrointestinal, I would have said.
I would have thought that's what I was saying.
Yes,
weird though, isn't it?
Intestinal,
I mean, I know.
Intestinal. Mm.
Oh, no, you've done it. That'll get stuck in my head now.
Exactly. Yeah. Gastrointestinal.
So it's probably stuck in my head now as well.
I'm curious, what is an RP?
It's a regional something or other.
Okay.
It's like a manager type person, I seem to recall.
I know how I would approach this. But engaging is
not
throwing me a bit of a curveball.
How would you approach it? How would you approach it then?
I think for me, I do it straighter than, well, I don't know, it might be engaging. Let's have a look. Let's have a listen. It might be brilliant.
This is a cracking thing though. I don't do engaging. Bugger that.
All right, let's have a go.
Let's do it.
All visitors on the ship must report to a member of staff if they're affected by or have just recovered from infections of skin, eyes, ears, mouth, or gastrointestinal illness. In the case of ammonia or waste release, if you smell ammonia or waste or come across an ammonia alarm, remove yourself from the affected area and contact your manager or RP immediately. If you are not in the affected area, remain indoors or assemble in the ground floor mess room area and await further instruction. You are responsible for disposing of any waste you create.
It was straight.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? It was.
I mean,
absolutely.
I heard you.
Yeah.
I heard you. I heard you, Mark.
I don't think I quite took the engaging direction there.
I wouldn't be gagging for the next chapter.
No. Well, you might be, but that's just from the subject matter.
A true story.
It was
informative. I heard the message.
Yeah.
But it was nice to listen to.
Perhaps there's a warmth to add in there.
Yeah.
A sort of human warmth.
A small smiliness.
Yes, that's what I will do.
Yes, I noticed I wasn't smiling with it, and it might well be that warmth.
Yeah, it was instructional.
Yes.
And
informative.
You know,
and I think I am used to doing instructional and informative. I'm booked a lot
to do. Well, you do it bloody well.
You do it really well. But you also do warm really well, interestingly. It's just
not then.
But warm and humour and things like that. Because I found if I think humour, even when clearly this is not a humorous take.
And yes, it is quite funny.
it is a little bit funny.
That sometimes adds a warmth.
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. And maybe I ought to think, yes, that's some really good points there. Absolutely. I'm fascinated to find out how engaging is. Lizzie Jobling. Thank you.
Oh,
you
no.
Used your full name there. Did you say that?
No, absolutely. Oh,
no. It's all right. He didn't say Elizabeth. I'm good. I'm good.
Yes.
Next time.
Okay. All visitors on the ship must report to a member of staff if they are affected by or have just recovered from infections of skin, eyes, ears, mouth, or gastrointestinal illness. In the case of ammonia or waste release, if you smell ammonia or waste or come across an ammonia alarm, remove yourself from the affected area and contact your manager or RP immediately. If you are not in the affected area, remain indoors or assemble in the ground floor mess room area and await further instruction. You are responsible for disposing of any waste you create.
Wow, that was bouncy. Wow.
Bouncy and a higher register than your
indeed.
Actual voice.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm terribly talented, you know.
Well, you are.
You are indeed. That was not in question, but I was surprised actually by that.
That Lizzie, that voice Lizzie, that Lizzie, do you use that for certain things or is it something that you, how do you get there, if you like? Because that's a very different Lizzie than the one we had previous.
Yeah, so it all depends on the direction, right, of the client and the particular client.
Yep.
So if they're and age, right, because my natural speaking voice, I'd say, puts me at my actual age, which is terribly young. But
it
that,
is very much so.
I seem to recall that this particular VO wanted, I think they were about 30 years old. So going higher, obviously, enables that to happen. And yeah, it's one of about five of my voiceover voices, but I do a lot of stuff up there.
And then halfway through, I thought, I've heard her use that voice in Sainsbury's.
Welcome to Sainsbury's.
Yes, exactly that. Exactly. It's the welcome to Sainsbury's. The lifts aren't working now.
That
or
is
whatever.
Fascinating.
I don't know if maybe that's my go-to for something that's engaging.
Yeah.
Because it just sounds brighter and happier and like something you might want to be around
more
so than this.
Because it's really interesting because I must admit that I don't experiment in anything other than character work with a bright, light voice. I can do a brighter, lighter voice.
No, that's fair. I don't think
as
I do, Sam, either. Yeah.
But I've never really thought about bringing it into...
Yep. Really good
So you're
point.
The same, Mark?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite interesting because I don't do any character work currently.
Oh,
and but I'm doing some coaching at the minute, some vocal coaching with someone. Yeah. And he's pointed out that actually I am doing character work.
Yes, you are.
I'm just
I was
not
just
doing
gonna
it
say,
within
that is,
character work.
Absolutely. That is character work.
Yeah.
That's fascinating because it really lends, a lot of differences then to sort of, if you like, ordinary work. Your ordinary work can actually
indeed.
Be approached in a variety of different ways if you play around with the pitch. And the pacing of things in that way. That's fascinating.
Mm.
I'm not sure we've ever explored this before.
No, that shows that the two scripts that we've had today have been massively different for different reasons and stuff that we haven't really covered before on the podcast, which is wonderful that we're still discovering new stuff. That is great. Well, guys, it's time for the wild card now. I want us to go and treat these scripts in a slightly different way. Lizzie, can you pick one of the scripts for Sam or for me? You have to choose who you're going to be nice to. And give us a new direction or a new character or a new something.
Okay, so I'm going to go for Mark. Script two.
Right.
Three words.
Yep. Okay.
Three words. You ready?
Yeah.
Jet to holiday.
Oh, now I was only looking at one of the Jet 2 Holidays adverts earlier, but they're everywhere, aren't they? They're radio, TV, cinema.
Blown up.
The ad spend that they must have for that poor girl.
Yeah.
And she's all over. She was doing a festival, wasn't she, the other day?
She was on Capital. In fact, she uploaded something on Instagram the other day. It was a short video of her inbox. She had over 12,000 emails.
No way.
Wow.
Yeah.
I do fear that she's pigeonholing herself.
Possibly. I'm just waiting for it to happen to me.
To be honest, like Dexter Fletcher with McDonald's, if you've got a very lucrative, massive client who's willing to spend the money, go for it.
Exactly.
All right.
Exactly.
So, nothing beats a jet. I'm not going to go at that register.
Nice.
All right. Okay. All visitors on the ship must report to a member of staff if they're affected by or have just recovered from infections of skin, eyes, ears, mouth, or gastrointestinal illness. In the case of ammonia or waste release, if you smell ammonia waste or come across ammonia, remove yourself from the affected area and contact your manager or RP immediately. If you're not in the affected area, remain indoors or assemble in the ground floor mess room area and await further instruction. You are responsible for disposing of any waste you create.
Wow.
So good.
So that...
Did that get there, Lizzie, do you think?
Yeah, it did, yeah. It was the weirdest thing ever.
Nothing beats a Jet 2 holiday.
Does it really have that one note delivery all the way through?
Mm.
Yes.
It goes a bit harder on the terms and conditions sometimes.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
But yes, every single commercial starts the same way, and that's brilliant for the copywriters, I think.
Well, interestingly, Mark, he went straight into your upper register.
I know. Isn't that funny? Yeah. Mm. But that's because I was kind of trying to get to where she was, I think.
Yes, yeah.
It was good.
Yeah.
It was really good, Mark. I was booking my tickets to the waste.
To the boat.
Waste boat.
To just smell that ammonia.
Smell that ammonia. That's brilliant, honestly. Well done.
Oh, my word. Well, okay. So, Sam, you're going to pick one for Lizzie, but I think it's worthwhile just reminding people why we do the wild card, isn't it? It's not just for a bit of fun.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is fun.
But it is fun.
But what I love about it is that it gets you out of predictable ways of approaching scripts.
So if you're in a funk with a script.
Yeah.
Yeah, do it an odd way and then go back to it. And somehow it just gives you new eyes on it, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, just gives you a new way of going into all kinds of scripts. Because often that's the thing that we struggle with. We kind of, you know, look at, say, an audition script and we think, oh, there's only one way to do this. And that's the way we do it. But actually, there are lots of different
ways. As we prove every week. Yes, indeed. Ooh, so what are you going to pull out for Lizzie?
Now, Lizzie, I want you to imagine that you're a film director.
Oh.
And you are the type of film director who's always sizing up the next shot. So, I'm going to get you to do script one because it's not your script. And so you are a film director that is very thrilled to be working out what shots are going to be in this next piece, and you're outside on a hillside or something.
I liked you before.
That is quite tough, Lizzie. I think that's quite tough too.
Don't you think?
Oh, it is tough, but I'll give it a go.
Okay.
Moreover, we know that after the pandemic of 2020, around 67% of Italians said that their screen fatigue had increased because of video calls and the time spent online. And the audio finally allows us to rest our eyes and let our imagination soar. And there is a fundamental element that is the emotional bond that develops with the narrator's voice. This is the great advantage that audiobooks offer. The voices who read audiobooks create an emotional bond that often goes beyond the story and the author. So much so that many users choose the next audiobook on the basis of their favourite narrators.
Oh, nice. So in your imagination, what were you doing there?
I was pointing at lots of people.
I got a bit of pointing, that came across.
I also got the idea that you were turning round slowly and looking at the vista. Is that right?
Yes, correct. It was very hot. I was some sort of desert mountain.
Maybe
area.
Creating that little rectangle with your fingers and looking through, saying, "Can I get that shot?"
Yeah, and looking at what extras I could pull in.
Yeah. Yes, quite
time.
Absolutely.
Beyond the dunes. Mm. Very nice,
Samantha. Ugh. I'm going to give you an exertion script. Not terribly exertion, but you can be as gentle with it as you like. I would like you to do your script because I think you're a bit more familiar with it. But I'd like you to be swimming in a swimming pool. You're telling this about the pandemic and about the Italians to the person on the side of the pool, but you are actually swimming. Now, you can do whatever stroke you want, breaststroke, backstroke, front crawl, whatever it is. Breaststroke is probably slightly more genteel.
Yes.
But,
with a fag in my mouth.
But I don't imagine swimmers. About in the pool.
I always imagine breaststroke swimmers with a fag in their mouth and a hat on. But anyway, that's another thing there. I don't know if that's not the persona I'm going to go for.
Swimming.
Well, it's all gleaned from Carry On Camping or something like that.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. I was wondering if that was the Ealing Lido.
Yes. Well, we're all like that down there. Oh, yes. All down there. Right.
So yeah, I want to hear you swimming.
You want to hear me swimming? Mm-hmm. Oh, now, it's actually quite interesting because it's quite a dinky booth I'm in. I would find it difficult to do
treading water.
Yes, so treading water is the only thing I can do. Now I can probably breaststroke it. I'll probably do that. Yeah, yes, absolutely. Okay. Right. Moreover, we know that after the pandemic of 2020, around 67% of Italians said their screen fatigue had increased because of video calls and the time spent online. And the audiobook finally allows us to rest our eyes and let our imagination soar. There's a fundamental element, and that is the emotional bond that develops with... the narrator's voice. This is a great advantage that audiobooks offer. The voices that read audiobooks create an emotional bond that often goes beyond the story and the author, so much so that many users choose the next audiobook on the basis of their favourite narrators. I managed it.
Don't drown.
My God. I don't know what I was doing there.
I don't know, but I was invested.
Every stroke.
She's in the Côte d'Azur, just in a beautiful pool and the sun is beating down.
I literally was.
Yeah.
I pictured you with one of those rubber... You know, those swimming hats, but with the flowers on.
Yes, absolutely.
That's exactly how I imagined myself.
And a polka dot cozy.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
I did everything. I was talking to somebody, as you know, on the side. Yep. Sometimes they were further away. Mm. Then I did a little bit of twirling. I thought I'd put my head under the water.
It was super dynamic.
I heard the twirl. Yeah.
Loved it.
That was amazing.
Honestly, it was nonsense, but there you go.
Brilliant. It's brilliant nonsense. What are you talking about? I loved it.
Well, as always, we've put the scripts in the show notes so you can have a try yourself. Just don't drown if you're going to do the swimming pool one.
Don't drown. Dive. Diving
yes,
would be good.
Dive in. Dive in.
Dive in. Dive in. So, Lizzie.
Yes.
You have got the only accredited voiceover business course in the UK. So, I'm... intrigued and thrilled in equal amounts about that. What led you down that path? Why did you create this?
So I founded the course about 5 years ago and have been teaching it and adding in content as I've developed my own career. And being somebody that doesn't like to particularly sit stagnant in one's own skill set and career, I was having a business strategy meeting. And it was suggested to me that I should look at getting the course accredited. That way I would be able to scale up the audience that I sell the course to.
Of course,
so,
yeah.
Mm. Art colleges, schools, you know, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
Because it has an educational purpose.
Yeah.
So I was looking into CPD because that's the sort of most recognised accredited body in the UK.
So how did you go about the accreditation then?
Effectively, what you have to do, you have to submit your course materials.
Yeah.
It's heavy, heavy on the admin. Mm-hmm. And then ultimately, the course has to be completed by the accrediting board.
Right, okay.
And they have to deem that it adds continued educational purpose to somebody.
How fascinating.
Wow. Yeah, so it has to meet certain requirements of learning objectives and that sort of thing. Yeah. So even though I'd been teaching the course for a few years, because it was only sort of me and another or a small group, I sort of taught it one-to-one, face-to-face or via Zoom, and then they'd get a summary of the module and the content. So it really had me unpicking the course in detail and putting it back together to be submitted, to be completed and to become accredited.
And who's it for, Lizzie? Is it for newbies? Is it for experienced voiceovers? Who does the course?
So I do varying things. So the full course that's the accredited CPD course is for anybody who might come to anybody that's in the industry and say, how do I get into VO?
Okay, and we've all had that question in our inbox, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. So the full course is for anybody who wants to get started. It's like a one-stop shop, covers everything from the terminology and acronyms that you might come across that would just are a different language if you're not in the industry,
sure,
all the way through to setting up your studio, recording, editing, invoicing, bookkeeping, marketing,
wow,
you know, directed sessions, yep, dealing with clients, all, you know, everything. Mm-hmm. And then I also do business coaching for people that are sort of up and running, but they might be not quite reaching the goals that they want to reach.
Sure.
So I do an audit of their business online, and then I build a bespoke package for them. And then they walk away with quite a hefty to-do list. And then they go off that way.
Your course focuses on marketing and how they can best market themselves within the industry.
It focuses on effectively tying together their brand, their money, yeah, voice, their online footprint, and their marketing strategy. So because what I found over the years is that people think of all these things as separate entities, mm, and they are not. They have to be tied together. And one of the things I teach people is that they have to think of all of these things, their website, their social media, online casting sites, marketing, their brand, as employees of their voiceover business. And what would you do if you employed somebody to work for you? You would put stuff into them consistently, repeatedly, to get them working for you. You wouldn't just set them, yeah, up and leave them.
Mm-hmm.
You would continually be adding to them and tweaking them. And it's about really changing people's mindset from, I'm a voice actor who just happens to have a business, to I'm, yeah, a business that happens to be a voice.
It, yeah, goes to show, Sam, doesn't it? We've heard it time and time again. The lifelong learning never stops.
Never. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, interesting.
Absolutely.
Lizzie, thank you so much for coming on the podcast. It's been fascinating having you along, and a great joy as well.
Thank
you. All of Lizzie Jobling's details can be found in the show notes.
And of course, the scripts are there as well. So do hit the follow button on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and leave a review on Apple Podcasts.
Indeed. That's it for this week. Thanks again to Lizzie Jobling. We'll be back next week with more scripts and another voiceover guest when we'll be asking,
how do you say that?
How do you say that?